So today, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do wisdom from mothers. Wisdom from mothers. And in particular, in my case, y'all know, you've been with me for a few years, it's wisdom from Pauline. That's my mother's name. Now, I think today's message, therefore, the one I wanted to bring to you, really, it's one of the keys to becoming wise, which is why we're studying about wisdom. We want to be wiser people. What do we need to do that? Here's the thing. Learn to seek the right kind of advice and have the ability to receive it. We call this today in modern language, we say receive coaching. That we'll use that kind of language. But it's really about how do I seek good advice and how do I receive? Because the reality is, if you just want to get advice, that's easy. You can borrow Sierra and Carlington's stroller and take that to Walmart with a baby. Everybody will tell you what to do with your child. Oh, he doesn't have a coat on. It's only May. Get a coat on that baby. Or that baby's crying. I think he's hungry. I mean, they'll all tell you what to do. And getting advice isn't hard. It's getting good advice that's tricky. Another good way to get advice, some of you are business owners, right? Leaders, you've started businesses. You know, the trick of it is you go to business for yourself, everybody's got advice. Take on leadership in the church, deacon, elder, whatever it might be, Sunday school teacher, everybody got advice, tell you how to do it. I learned another great way you want to get some advice, become the coach of a little league team. I tried this when Matthew was little for a couple years, and it was interesting, even though our team was, we won almost all the time, there were always people who thought I needed their input on how to develop a winning team. Usually it involved playing their child more, right? That's usually the first piece of advice. Or if they were on the, I actually had this happen, parents from the opposing team telling us, well, you ought to take it easier on, we'll tell you how to coach your team. Take it easier on my kids. I was not sad to pass that team on to one of the dads I had kind of coached along as my assistant. After we did that a little bit, I said, you take it. It's all yours. I've had enough of this one. The point I'm trying to get to is simply that there's lots of advice out there. Plenty of people want to offer it, but you want it to come from the right people because, folks, listen, most unasked for advice is about worth what you paid for it. They gave it to you for nothing, and most of it's worth nothing. If you take the wrong kind of advice, you can end up in deep trouble. So if you want to develop wisdom for the long haul, you're going to need to learn how to fine-tune this art of taking advice. The book of Proverbs says, learning to receive advice is absolutely essential if you want to succeed in life, if you want to develop wisdom. Here's what Solomon said in chapter 19, verse 20 of Proverbs. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. Oh, that's spectacular. I mean, you don't have to be a scholar. You look at that. It doesn't say follow all the advice you get. It says listen to it, accept instruction, and in the end, you'll be wise. Learning to sort through the good and bad, that's an important piece of it. Here's another one from Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. So what I want to do real quick today is give you three keys to receiving advice and how to use it. So here we go. The first one is to be selective. Already touched on this about the different sources of advice. You can't take it from just everyone, although it often seems like everyone is trying to give you advice. That's why you've got to be careful. You've got to be choosy about who you let speak into your life in this important way. It's so key. And you have to be ready to hear. A lot of times we don't get good advice. You know why? Because people who have good advice are wise people. And if you're acting like you can't be bothered, you know what they're going to do? They're not going to bother. They're not going to bother trying to coach you if it's obvious you already know everything. So before you seek advice, Make sure you humble yourself. You know what you're looking for. You're thinking, I need to get a good word about it. You're praying about it. Be careful to choose the person. Maybe you want to approach them instead of just waiting for somebody to walk up and drop one on you. Proverbs 13:7 in the Living Bible says it very plainly. It says, if you're looking for advice, stay away from fools. That's it. Stay away from people who want to tell you how to run an area of your life that they don't know very much about. For example, I just think of a few across the years. From my generation, if you wanted marriage advice, a long-lasting marriage, you did not ask Elizabeth Taylor. I mean, that woman went through husbands like men go through suits. I mean, it just like, you know, all the time. You don't ask, here's one for you sports fans. You don't ask the Chicago Cubs how to get to the World Series. Hadn't been there in 100 years. I mean, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes. You don't ask them. You want to ask somebody, you don't ask Pastor Williams, how do you keep a full head of hair? That's just not my thing. Just not my thing. What can I say? You want to seek out people that you respect, people who have credibility and experience. Solomon said, he who walks with the wise grows wise. That's Proverbs 13:20, a great verse. Now, here's what you need to look for. If you want to say, I want to find that person, Pastor, who is it? The first person you need to look for is somebody who has been here and done that, or been there and done that. I mean, you know, somebody, if you're poor and you want to get better at managing your money, who should you ask? Another poor person? No, ask somebody who has learned to save and grow it. Now, they may have started from being a poor person. My advice is, you know, Dave Ramsey is a great choice. You know, I listen to him for a reason. There's a journey he's been on. I share my wisdom with people. We've been on a journey. You know, I've shared with you all that over the years. That's just part of it. So if you want to become rich, my advice would be don't go and talk to a Rockefeller, because they don't know what it is to grow rich anymore. They've been rich for so long, it's just all inherited. Talk to somebody who made their million in the past 10 years, somebody who made it through a tough economy, somebody who's running a business where the employees are happy as well as the owners. Talk to the right kind of people, you know? That's really what it's about. Find somebody who's been there and done that. That's why those of you who are in 12-step programs, right? It's one of the best things about a 12-step program. It's not that you have a genius speaker every week. It's that you share with each other. And people who have struggled with addiction, people who have found a way through, it may not work for everybody in the room, but it helps this one, that one, and the other. Find somebody who's been there and gone through it. Somebody who's never suffered from compulsive behavior is probably not going to be able to help you much with compulsive behavior. You know, they're going to give cliche kind of advice. Sometimes when people ask me about stuff I don't know much about, I said, look, the best I can tell you, the wisdom I've heard is this, but I don't know that for myself, you know. I know better than to speak into some situations I don't know anything about. But if you want to talk to somebody who has overcome the problem you're facing now, so if you're going through a marital struggle, don't look for somebody who's been married 2 years and has never had a fight. Find somebody who's been married 20 and been through a few knockdown dragouts, you know, and come back together with their spouse. There's a lot of wisdom there that you want to learn from. Or it might be some type of sin you're struggling with. You want to talk to somebody who's been through that. Egotistical or sarcastic with people or whatever it might be. Find somebody who's been there and grown through that. Second thing you need to find for somebody to give you advice, somebody who's got your best interest at heart. I did notice the other day in the paper, a lady by the name of Hillary Clinton is preparing to run for the presidency. And I'm guessing she's not going to call W. Bush and ask for his advice on how to win the election. Why? Well, first of all, his brother is probably going to be running against Hillary. So, you know, he might give Hillary some advice, but I don't think he's got her best interest at heart. I think he's got his party and his brother. I mean, that's the way, and it could have been vice versa. I could have gone the other way. So don't anybody get excited about how Pastor was picking on somebody. I'm just using both of them. That's an exaggerated example of somebody who's telling you something for their interest. They may want to get you to go down a certain road with advice, but it's not really driven by you, it's driven by them. Make sure that the person advising you is not self-serving, but they have your best interest at heart. Another illustration would be, as for years as a pastor, I tried to figure out how to motivate people, and then I learned from a number of serious scholarly studies that the general agreement is this: all motivation is actually self-motivation. So I'm wasting my time if I'm trying to motivate you. You have to motivate yourself. What we want to talk about is where we're going, what the purpose is, those things. Quite honestly, you know, it's hard to motivate somebody else to do that. So with advice, it's kind of the same way. If I want you to do what I want you to do, that's no good. It's got to be about your best interest in mind. It's kind of like that financial advisor who wants to buy and sell lots of stocks. Why? Because they make money on every transaction. Yeah, every time to sell or buy. So if they buy one and you say, I don't like it, I want to sell it, do they argue with you? Oh, heavens no, because that produces more income for them. So you got to be careful, all right? You want to make sure you're selective. The second thing you want to do is be receptive. If you're a note taker, using the back of the page, be receptive. One of the reasons we hesitate to ask for advice is because we're not yet committed to following it when we get it. This is a great struggle for me as a spiritual coach. People will come, say, Pastor, I'm trying to figure out what to do here, what the Bible says about this. And when I tell them, they don't want to do that. They're not very receptive to what God has to say. It's always surprising. Here's the other thing people will say, I knew you were going to say that, Pastor. That's very interesting. Because most of the time when people come to me for advice, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm a little terrified of, you know, I think I got to, these people are asking me, I've got to do my best. I get prayerful. I get thoughtful. If you know what I'm going to say, then you need to tell me, because it saved me a lot of time and work. And then when it's given caringly and thoughtfully and prayerfully, be receptive. You ask for it. Don't be resistant from the get-go. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, it is better to be a poor but wise youth than to be an old and foolish king who refuses all advice. What a verse. Listen, folks, the biggest mistakes I made in my life are the ones that I made without getting good advice. I just rushed in where angels should have feared to tread and did stuff that... And you can look back and say, boy, that refusal to listen at this key moment or that key moment, that was dangerous for you. Only by the grace of God was there some shielding of the worst of the results that could have come. That's why the Bible said, we talked about this from the first week of wisdom, Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Got to listen, got to be receptive, all right? You don't have to be stuck in a foolish decision. You got to be open to hearing good advice. This is why businesses need a good board of directors. It's why churches need godly people in leadership and in eldership. Sometimes pastors will say, oh, I feel stifled by all the bureaucracy of the church, or I get stifled by the governance. And what that implies is all the members of the church are holding us back. I got to tell you, that's not really my experience. I've made some jokes about that kind of thing in the past, but I got to be honest and say, I've been blessed. We've had great leadership in our governance model since we put elders in, and it's been such an encouragement to me. And I just want to bless them and thank them today for being people who have the courage of their convictions to speak the truth in love. Sometimes pastors need to hear what they don't want to hear. Now, some of y'all just pretend you didn't hear that, but those that I depend on, please hear that. Sometimes pastors need to hear the tough word. We all need to. And when it's said, we need to be receptive. So if it applies to me, does it apply to you too? Yep. Okay, last one. So we've talked about being perceptive, or actually being selective, rather. Selective, receptive. So you know the next one's going to rhyme with it. Objective. We want to be objective. When it comes to getting advice, you not only want to be selective and receptive, but you want to be objective. That means there is no one person in this world other than God himself who understands all the answers all the time. There is no one person that you should go to for advice on every single thing. Part of what you need to do in getting advice is be objective about what you're struggling with. And then that thing, find the right person to talk to you. Getting that good advice from the right person, it's so key. Being objective about it, not just emotional. Oh, I go back to the same person. We have a good relationship. Well, that's good, but that's not very objective. And they may be good for you in one area, but not in another area of your life. And hear me about this. Even if you get somebody else's advice, including mine, Understand this. It does not absolve you from the accountability for the decisions you make. You ask for advice. You get it. You still make the choice about what you do. Don't be a whiner. Request advice. Somebody says, it's the best I got for you. And then you take it. And, well, I did what they said. It didn't work out. Okay? Maybe you need to seek out more than one. Maybe you say, oh, now I've learned that's not the area to ask that friend about. But I know they meant well. It didn't work out. But don't just go all whiny and crazy about it. Solomon says in Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So as my friend Kelly Shushok used to say, not all the wisdom comes from one corner of the room. God is speaking through his people. It can come through any number of folks. All right, well, let me wrap this up today. I want to close because on this Mother's Day, talking about advice, I thought I would share with you some pearls from Pauline, some wisdom from Pauline, five S's, just one word each, and I got a little saying for each one. Here we go. So she's watching. Mom, see if I learned anything from you. The first S stands for stewardship. She tells me this all the time, still to this day. Son, you brought nothing into this world, and you ain't going to take anything out of it. Use it well while you're here. Great guidance. Second thing is about suffering. Yeah, because you know what? Even if you're a good person, a good Christian, suffering comes. She said to me just the other day, she was diagnosed recently for dementia. And so she's aware of that. And first she started off and she said, well, they all think I'm going crazy. And then she realized that that's not really what it's about. It's not about going crazy. It's about your memory faltering. And so they're kind of working together. Y'all know she helps take care of my brother Joe. They take care of my dad. My dad takes care of them. It's kind of this little triangle. They're all helping each other. And I think it's a beautiful thing. But here's what she said. She said, honey, it's just like this. If the Lord had not been on our side, I don't know what we do. Now, if you're smart, you know that's not only a regular saying. That's right out of the book of Psalms. If the Lord had not been on our side. The raging waters, the seas, everything would have overwhelmed us. But when I'm suffering, I know the Lord is on my side. I fear no man. That's the attitude. The third S for standards. Live up to who you are. I'll never forget, it was in particular an event with one of my other brothers graduating from school, but we got in the car afterwards. She said, I hope that all those kids leaving today understand this. You got to remember whose you are and where you come from. Don't put on airs. Don't pretend to be something you ain't. Just remember whose you are and where you come from. That's a standard. You belong to the Williamses, you live a certain standard. You belong to Jesus, you live a certain standard. That's a great word. Next S for sharing. Because in her stewardship, giving away money is huge. She's helping send a couple of young folks in our crowd to Brazil this summer. She said, got some folks that need some help to go on the mission trip? Let me send you a check. Okay, Mom. Always glad to receive checks here at Streams of Hope. Anybody here on the way out you need to, you feel free. And in sharing, she always says it like this. You just got to think of the other feller. You got to think of quit worrying about yourself so much and think about the other feller. Amen. Last one, S for strength. In our weakness, he is strong. Whew. So when she told me about the diagnosis recently, we've had a couple people in our own church, not too distant past, who've gone through the same diagnosis. What you know is when we are weak, he is strong. God shows himself to be faithful. We don't give in to fear. We don't give in to silence. We let people know, and we find our strength in God. So you see, asking someone for advice and church family being asked for guidance or advice is about the greatest compliment that could come. So if you're asking for advice, make sure that the person you're asking deserves the compliment. And if you're giving advice, make sure you deserve it as well. Make sure you're handling with stewardship and strength and standards the request of this person to share with you some advice. Has that person been there, done that? Do they have my best interest at heart? Will they tell me what I need to hear and not just what I want to hear? Can they be trusted to help me keep an objective view of my life? If you do these things, brothers and sisters, you will have a life that reflects the reality of this great promise of God that we started with today. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. Thank you, moms. Amen? Amen.